Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Church. I am so excited about being here this morning. Number one, I bring you greetings from my wife, Pastor Judy Bergia, at Lovejoy Church, but also from President Chris Ball of Elam Fellowship. I'm also the Vice President of Elam. I was the President for 10 years and stepped down. They asked me to come back to be the Vice President, and I said I would. And I'll explain that in a couple minutes, how that is happening. Pastor Bill and Anne Marie, thank you so much for the invite. Pastor Jonathan and Alyssa and the whole church here, I just greet you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to talk this morning about partnership. Partnership. I experienced some of that yesterday on the boat as we were fishing, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Let me just read you something I found about partnership. It's called A Partnership, an Innovation, and a Lot of Happy People. God wants us to be happy and joyous, really. Really, that's the better word, is to be joyful. Listen to this. On a hot summer day, what's the most refreshing treat you can imagine? Ice cream. That's what hits the spot. And that's what people wanted on a hot, sticky day in the summer of 1904. People at the St. Louis World's Fair had walked for hours in the hot sun, and they were ready for something to cool them off. That's why they were lined up for what seemed like miles in front of the booth of Arnold Fornachow to get a taste of his frosty ice cream. The problem was that Arnold's ice cream was so popular, he quickly ran out of paper bowls. Remember, this is 1904 now. The moonlighting teenager scrambled to keep his potential customers by washing and reusing the few ceramic bowls he had on hand. But no matter how hard he worked, many people grew tired of waiting and wandered off in search of another treat. That's when an unlikely partner emerged to save the day. His name was Ernest Hamwee, a pastry chef who had grown up in Damascus, Syria. In the booth next to Arnold's, he was selling a wafer-thin Persian confection called zalabia. That is, he was offering them, but nobody was buying them. When Ernest saw his neighbor's plight, he was struck with a great idea. Grabbing a warm zalabia, he twisted it into a cornucopia shape and rolled it in sugar. Then he ran over to Arnold's booth and offered it to him. Still scrambling to wash bowls and wait on customers, Arnold didn't understand what the older man had in mind. But when Ernest handed an ice cream scoop atop a confection cone to a waiting customer, Arnold instantly got the message. A huge smile spread over his face, and in no time, the two men were working side by side. Ernest made edible bowls. Arnold scooped ice cream. Back then, they were called World's Fair cornucopias, and they were the hit of the fair. Today, we simply call them ice cream cones, and they're still a hit. And here's what he says at the end. So the next time you're looking for relief on a hot summer day, think of Ernest and Arnold and celebrate their partnership by taking a friend out for an ice cream cone. Or take him out fishing or whatever he likes. Can we pray together? Our Father, thank you for the great worship team and the great worship. And Lord, really, the worship team is all of us together with the band up in front. And Lord, I just praise your name today. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would help me communicate the truths that are in your word for this congregation in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. He warmed you all up. You did a great job with the amen. Thank you very much. It was a joke. Partnership solves problems and everybody wins. I want to talk to you about that this morning. Do we have a PowerPoint? Is that one there? Okay, great. This morning, we're going to look at the partnership between the Apostle Paul and the church at Philippi. This was a very special church to the Apostle Paul, and you're going to see why in just a couple of minutes. Philippi was where Paul and Silas had been jailed when they were in stocks, they were in prison, an earthquake came, and they were freed. The brand new church had started at the river in Philippi, and they stood by Paul thick and thin. You're going to see why in just a moment. Paul felt a sense of joy and comfort with the church in Philippi. We can experience that same joy and comfort by functioning as partners in ministry. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, or the overseers and elders and leadership. I want you to get that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. So your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 5 in the New Living Translation. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about the Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Partnership. Wow. What a great concept. Just a listening to that word partnership, for me anyway, just to, brings out satisfaction and just a purpose that is able to help me want to go on in life. Two or more people, let me give you that definition. Two or more people working together towards mutually desirable goals. Two or more people with different perspectives and abilities. Respecting the views, talents, dreams, and abilities of other partnerships. Simply, I have partnership is the ability to work together toward a common vision. This is so important. Not only in the secular world, but in the Christian world also. Paul in the church of Philippi said that they were truly partners, united in a common goal, not out of fear or force, but in a grateful response to the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was saying here in these few verses, first few verses in Philippians. Paul in his letter to the Philippians feels the joy a partnership in the gospel. A partnership that is centered around Christ Jesus and nurtured in the Holy Spirit. In the business and professional world, achieving the rank of a partner is a sought-after goal. Partners in lawyers, partners in firms and different things. Don't ever be a partner in crime with somebody. You know, that's not a good partnership there. It's more important than the trappings of rank or having a corner office or having a bathroom in your office or a conference room. Being a partner means much more than all of that. What's important is the level of involvement and commitment in achieving the goals of the business. I'm talking about the secular realm now. A sense of satisfaction for a job well done with the cooperation of others. And of course, we're talking about the church. In the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, Paul talks about Christ loving the church. Husbands, love your wives. Christ submitting to one another. And the whole thing, the two shall be one. The whole thing, Paul says, is really what I'm talking about is Christ in the church. It's an example of being together, having unity of Christ in the church. Yes, the husband and wife are become one, and they're one flesh. but it's for the purpose, hopefully, to demonstrate to the world as a witness of what a husband and wife team could be. Unity can be another word for partnership. One definition of unity is coming together with others for a common purpose. Coming together to church is for a common purpose. There's a difference between, now in Buffalo, I could say this, I don't know what sports team you all root for here. The Cowboys, okay. Well, they beat us twice in the Super Bowl in a row, 2 years in a row. That was pretty bad. But, you know, there's a difference. If you go to a football game or a basketball game or a hockey game or whatever it may be, a lacrosse game, that's all great. And when you're there, there's a unity there. Isn't that right? All the fans are there and there's great unity. But that unity really does not accomplish much, because when you leave, when you leave as a fan, you're separated from, not much happens. But when we're together in Christianity, something powerful happens. God has not called us to be fans, listen, but disciples. That's what he's called us to do. And if you're only a fan and not a disciple, you're going to miss out on all that God has. When two or three unbelievers are together, you only have two or three persons. Spiritual unity is multiplied when we are joined to Jesus. Where two or three believers are together, he is in our midst. So if it's just Pastor Bill and myself, well, there's a third person there. Amen? Jesus. There's always another one added to that. Matthew 18 says this, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." We need to partner together to be truly connected. I have on the PowerPoint, partnership with a purpose is unity that accomplishes great things. After a football game or basketball game, and you leave and there's not much really was accomplished. You did something when you were together. But unity with Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, accomplishes great things. Husband and wife partnering in ministry. Pastor Judy and I have been partners in marriage for 41 years this past June, and co-pastoring together for over 30 years. We have learned what it is to be a partner together. We have different views on things. Sometimes our perspectives are different, but the common goal is to glorify Jesus Christ in our marriage, our family, in the church, and in our neighborhood, and really around the world. How about father and son partnering in ministry? In September, my son Jonathan will be joining our staff at Lovejoy Church, and then next January, 2018, he will take the position of lead pastor, and I'll be the senior pastor, or really, I'll be his associate. The older partnering together with the younger. Don't you think it's interesting that Pastors Bill and Jonathan are joining together as partners, and just as my son and I will be doing in September, and then more unified or in a different role next January. The older partnering together with the younger, that is so important. That's going to be, I'm doing a series in August on partnership. I have not preached this at my church yet. I'm practicing on you this morning. The Philippian church was in partnership with the Apostle Paul. Whenever Paul prayed or thought of the church at Philippi, it gave him joy. Verses 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. The New Living Translation says, it makes me happy. I'm full of joy. Paul said this is the only church, and we're not going to go there. I will be doing it next month in August. The only church that really supported him financially. I'm sure there was others, but he singled out this church at Philippi. This was a special church. Why? Because they partnered with him. When he said the good work that began in you, I'm confident will be complete. He did that in the context that they were partners. They partnered together in so many different ways. Christianity will not be fun until you are connected with other believers, until you become partners with each other. That's what makes a church great. That's what God is looking for, and to be honest with you, that's what pastors are looking for all over the world. People who come to church, who join with the vision of Jesus, Acts 1:8, and I could use many other verses, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Witnesses in our personal life, in our marriages, our families, in our jobs, in our community. That's what he wants us to do. People who will join with the pastor in a vision that God has given him. It's partnering with God. It's partnering with the pastor and connecting with other members and attenders. I was so impressed this morning. I'll talk about that in a moment. What I saw here demonstrated. Okay, number one. Be a covenant partner with God. Want what he wants. I could go off into a whole bunch of different things, but remember, I'm getting ready to preach to my own church in a few weeks. For example, when it comes to a church service, be here when the service starts. I was so impressed when I came in here this morning. Do you pay them to come early? How do you do that? There were so many of you here early. That was like amazing. But be here when the service starts. You know, the staff is here early before the service to prepare the way. The worship team has been practicing to lead you into the presence of God. The ushers and greeters are here so there's no distractions. Listen, God dwells inside of you, and you are needed during worship to bring in the presence of God. Don't you know that when the room is more full, the worship is better? Absolutely. So please be here on time to partner with God, and I can see most of you will. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Wow. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's a great verse. We come together, we're two or three, he's in our midst. We come together and we worship him. The more of us that are together, the more of us worshiping, it seems like the greater the anointing, the greater the presence comes. That's because God anoints people when they're together in unity. It's not the church building that brings the presence of God. It's the church people. Now, I do agree to this. Probably there is a sense of God's presence in here when nobody's here, but that's not because of the building. It's because of what has been happening here during the week. You see, as we're praising him, as we're worshiping him. Psalm 100, and we did this morning. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. It is so awesome when the church comes together, and the worship team has already been practicing, and you know, they want you to have the best that you could have, and you come in and you realize, you know what? It's not just me, but it's the worship team has been worshiping and practicing. And as I come in, as I begin to lift up my voice, lift up my hands, as I begin to praise the Lord with the worship team, we all become the worship team then God does a wonderful thing in our midst. His presence comes in a great way. Listen, we partner together as we worship him together. Amen? And I want to commend you for that, and Pastor Bill and Pastor Jonathan, for people that are coming in early. Number two, be a covenant partner with the pastors. Again, I could talk about a lot of different things, but I'm just going to center on a couple of areas this morning. I call it help where you are gifted or needed. I've been pastoring the same church for 33 years this month. 33 years. And I've heard so many times people come in and they'll come up to me and say, hey, Pastor Ron, you know, there's so-and-so really has a need. They're sick, or they need food, or they need this or that. And then they just walk away from me. If you want to help the pastor, then you take that burden and do something with it. That's really how it should be. Partnering with the pastors and the leadership of the church. Help where you are gifted or needed. I want you to notice I said both there. Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When I first took Lovejoy 33 years ago, my wife and I set up chairs, cleaned the bathrooms, vacuumed the church. We did all that type of work for years. Then as my kids got older, they began to set up chairs and clean the church and to do all those things. And now I have grandchildren that are helping in that. But you know, it came to a place, and it is today, that I can't do all that. I need to depend on other people to do that. Help where you are gifted is the first thing. This should be your maximum time commitment. Those are gifts that you have, talents that you have. Use them in the areas that are needed at the church. Well, how about my next point is help where you are needed. Oh, well, I'm not very good at sweeping floors, so that's not me. But you may be needed. There's a gentleman, this really happened 33 years ago. I took the church called Lovejoy Gospel Church from Pastor Tom Brazell. He is our ministry, global, thank you. I need all the help I can get, you see that? We're partnering already. He's our global director of Elam Fellowship. And when I took the church, this young man at that time came up to me and said, Pastor, I really believe God has called me to preach. He said, is there anything I can do? I said, well, and his name was Ted. I can say that here because you don't know him. I said, yeah, Ted, you know, I really need help, as I said, cleaning the bathrooms. That's what I said to him. And he said to me, no way. I said, no way. He goes, no, God's called me to preach, not to clean bathrooms. Do you know that he never preached at my church and still has never preached at anyone else's church, as far as I know? You need to go also where you're needed, at least for a temporary time. You may not be as strongly gifted, but be willing to serve in a pinch on a short-term commitment. Listen to Romans 12 about some of the gifts. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Or if it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. When you come to church and you're partnering with God, and remember, I'm just giving you one aspect of it in worship, and you begin to worship the Lord together and his presence comes, that is totally awesome. You're partnering with God, you're partnering with the worship team. And then when you partner with the pastors and leaders of the church, something else happens too. Something happens in unity. You are now partnering with a purpose. Going to a Dallas football game or a Buffalo Bills game, you're there as a fan. And then when you leave, there's nothing left, nothing else. It's really useless unity. But when you are unified with the body of Christ, something happens. His presence comes in a great way. Number three, be a covenant partner with each other. With each other. 1 Peter 4:8 says this. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Again, it overlaps a little bit with pastoring or partnering together with the pastor. But you see, each one of us is a treasure to God. And we should view others as a treasure to God. You may see faults in others. You may see faults in me. But the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. It says in the book of Corinthians, look no longer to the flesh of somebody, but look and see, 2 Corinthians 5, see what God, how God views people. God views you and me as his sons and daughters in whom he's well pleased. We're not perfect. We're far from that. We're incomplete. We have idiosyncrasies and areas of shortcomings. But God still loves us and cares for us. And he wants us to do that for each other also. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good work. And let us not neglecting our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Wow. Some people only come to church, at least in Buffalo, every 2 or 3 weeks. Some people get here 10 or 15 minutes late. I don't think that's being a covenant partner. It's not being a covenant partner with God. It's not being a covenant partner with the pastors. And it's not being a covenant, it's not being covenant partnership, I'm sorry, with each other. I'm here for you and you're here for me. I pray for you and you pray for me. And that was a great display of partnership this morning. Wow. Seeing you praying for one another like that. No wonder there's a sense of love and unity in this place. Yesterday, Pastor Bill and Eric took my grandson, he'll be here at the second service, on the boat. And I saw partnership in a very unique way. Number one, I've never caught a fish bigger than this. These fish are like gigantic. But when a fish is coming in and they're reeling it in, there has to be a partnership, a unifying between a couple of people. And one was Pastor Bill and Eric. And how they were switching and going under each other and flowing together. And then another hit is happening and they run over there. Partnership in unity for a purpose accomplishes great things. God wants us to partner with each other. Let me just digress for a moment here. Talked about getting here early and doing all that, and I saw a great example of that this morning. How about in your giving? I heard a pastor say, you're not 100% the church until you're 10% behind the church. Isn't that good? We're talking about being a covenant partner with God, being a covenant. I'm doing a whole sermon on this in August, just on that. It'll be partnership in our finances. You're not 100% behind the church until you are 10% behind the church. Listen, if you're late, you don't tithe, you sleep or wander the halls during service, I don't think that happens here. Our halls are a little bit bigger, so I've heard from the, whatever they're called, the security team or whatever they are, that, Pastor, this guy wanders and they wander all over the place. You leave early and show up late and attend every third week. You are not being a covenant partner. God wants us to be covenant partners with Him, with the pastors and leadership of the church, and with each other. If you don't do your part, you can't be a partner. Partnership. Partners do their part. One more thing. The Word of God says in Ephesians 5:15, walk circumspectly or look carefully how you walk. It's an interesting word in the New King James Version, circumspectly. When I first read that years ago, I thought it meant like being upright and integral. And it doesn't mean that, though we need to be that. Walking circumspectly, it says, look carefully how you walk. Look around and see how you can encourage, pray, or meet a need of a brother or sister that is in your midst. You may know that person is down or needs something or is going through a trial or whatever it is. So you have to put on your radar. On the boat yesterday, they have a GPS thing, like a radar thing. You can tell where the fish are. And even can tell us how big they are, I think. Is that right? We need to put on our radar when we come into church. Not just like, oh, well, I've got so many needs and this and that. Well, God wants to meet your needs, but, you know, you can't. Some people say, if you want to have friends, you need to be friendly. Amen? So have your radar up. Have that GPS on. And seeing that while Sally is over there, and Sally, how are you doing? And encourage them and love on them and bless them. And, of course, you have times to do that in the prayer time that you have here at church, which is great. Walk circumspectly or look carefully how you walk. Galatians 6, 9 to 10. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Wow. Or grow faint or go out of the way. That's what it says there in the Greek. Lose vision or purpose. That's what it says in the Greek. Lose purpose or vision. Go out of the way. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's the church that we're gathered. Universal church, of course, but also the church that we're in. Let's put up our radar screens when we come to church. Not just Sunday morning. It could be a Bible study to hear the phenomenal Pastor Bill King. I may have to come back just for that Bible study. What so impressed me about Pastor Bill, he's a Hebrew and a Greek scholar. Totally amazing. Let me close. Does the worship team come up, Bill? How does that work, Jonathan? Yeah, why does the worship team come up? I'm sharing with you some things after being a Christian for like 45 years or something like that. I've been in the full-time ministry since 1978. I got married in 1976. My wife and I have four children, four grandchildren, and one on the way with my son, Jonathan. And I'm sharing with you some things because we're ready to go into transition too. We have been in transition. And I encourage you, as men and women of God, to partner with God. Partner with the pastors and leaders and to partner with each other. Let me just close in Psalm 133. And I'm going to give it to the worship team. Okay. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, in harmony, in a purpose that means something. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. In conclusion, let me leave you this challenge. Be a covenant partner with God. Be a covenant partner with your pastors. Be a covenant partner with each other. Amen. God bless you.